Should I go in? We're along, we're kind of along. Is that better? Is that okay? And I'm just going to pull this over so I can see what's going on here. Thank you, Darian. And Cheryl, thanks for what you're doing, what you were able to do at the UN this week. That's good. I can see it. I'm good. Yeah. conflict. You ever been in conflict? No. I love it. Some people are like, no. Other people are like, yeah. what type of conflict? Think, I want to just pause for a minute, allow you to think about the best conflict you'd ever been in. Just think about that. Now you're all facing this way. I'm all looking this way and looking and going, okay, how many people here have I been in conflict with? A few, because that's normal. What comes to mind when you think of conflict? What maybe stirs up in you when you are reminded of that moment that you had conflict with someone? I want you to just sit in that for a minute. For me, I hardly ever have conflict any of the times. And if you ask Sharon, like, I deal with it like so perfect. That I am the best person right now to be preaching at you regarding conflict. So get ready. It's just going to be absolutely wonderful. No, you get it. Okay, good. You're seeing that. is that we're in our wisdom series, and part of wisdom is trying to live well. And what is this? How do we live well in the midst of whatever comes at us and in us? And how are we wise people? And where does wisdom come from? I appreciated Paul last week. Thank you very much for the sermon you gave. And there is a line in there that he talked about that the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, but talked about it comes from an experience or an understanding of mercy, the mercy of God in our lives, not about human. Somehow we manufactured this wisdom in our lives. And I think it starts with that saying, oh, I am in need of wisdom. I am in need of help. I'm in need of some direction to help me navigate what comes my way on a day-to-day basis. And as those of us that are Jesus followers, we say, yes, Jesus, you are our King. And we want to respond to you as our King and our Lord. And now what does that look like in our own lives? So today, I hope that we can learn a little bit about responding to conflict with wisdom. Let's pray. God, thank you for this opportunity to be a part of this community with these people in this time, in this place. There's a beautiful reason that we are together seated here today. We pray for those that aren't able to be here today because of various maybe illness or otherwise or commitments and whatnot. We just pray a blessing on them. Thank you that there is a community of people all around the world that are meeting in different spaces, communities of people, and somehow you've still said that your manifold wisdom is displayed in this community, this sacred body. Help us understand what that means a bit more today. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Scripture that we're going to lean into isn't going to be a proverb, but it's going to be Ephesians 4. Now, we spent some time in that this summer when we did our What Stirring series, and so I want to read through this, and then I want to make some notes, want to make a few comments about this. Ephesians 4, 20 to 32. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus, you have learned the truth that comes from him. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing instead. Use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words may be an encouragement to those who hear them. And don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing you will be saved on the day of redemption. Rid yourself of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Jesus Christ, has forgiven you. There's all kinds of things to be able to say in there. If you look at that whole scripture in Ephesians 4, it's talking about Christian living. This idea of wisdom is, how do we live in this world with everything that's coming at us? And not even what everything's coming at us. How do we live in this world with all of you? How do you live in this world with your family? How do you live in this world as you're dealing with and loving one another and working with one another? The interesting part, what grabbed me in this passage, a couple things, but it says here in verse 24, be like God. What? Huh? Be like God. Paul talked about the renewing of your mind. He talked about Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 last week. You can go back and look at that as well if you weren't here. But be like God. It's by the by the renewing of our mind that we're transformed in being like God. Now, can we be like God? How does that work? Is that some kind of high platitude that we strive for all the time? What does it look like? Sometimes we think about being like God is kind of like we disembody ourselves. But you're in a context with relationships that inevitably will have conflict. And here he's saying, imitate Christ. Be like God. What does it look like to do this? When we learn through looking at King Jesus who the true God is and what He's like, then we see the standard at which we're able to aim, even though we will do that imperfectly. So be like God. Now, that's really interesting. N.T. Wright, you'll notice I mention him quite often, but this is a quote that I had to ponder this week. The truth about God, a truth about the God of love, can't be commended by loveless speech. And we're going to come to that a little bit later when it talks about speak truth, but also truth in love. And how does this work? The truth about God's truth about the God of love can't be commended by loveless speech. And I look back, and what we don't want to do this during this time is make us like it's. We didn't come here to feel bad, right? I look back and I go, oh my goodness. How did I speak to my wife this week? How did I speak to my kids this week? I did it imperfectly. And sometimes it's about catching ourselves even after the fact that we realize, oh, okay. And we see the honesty in our own lives and we say, we need to be able to live up to a different standard. And how do we do this? So I want to briefly look at dealing with conflict. Many of you guys, you've seen this or heard about this, but just the reminder that there's different ways of dealing with conflict. There's, Ajay, you should have been up here with me on this one. I don't know if you know, but Ajay can maybe explain a bit better, but he works in this field all the time. And so correct me if I'm wrong, if there's kind of 5 different ways to do this, is that there's a competing method. It says, do it my way or don't do it at all. do it my way or don't do it at all. There's and in that, you try to compete, maybe coerce, maybe outwit or control the other person or group of people. And sometimes if you're this tendency, you probably end up being maybe quite impatient with what's happening as well. But it's not all bad. This way of doing it, it's really good in use of emergency situations or if the issue might be trivial. Like somebody's got to make a decision. Are we going to do it? Are you coming with me? Let's go. But it can have some damaging effects as well. Avoiding. That statement is conflict? What conflict? There's no conflict. What do you mean? Is there conflict? I don't want to. No, I don't see any conflict. Fleeing, denying, withdrawing, delaying, wishing, or hoping and praying that something will happen. Accommodating. Oh, sorry. And sometimes that's a good way too. There's some negative aspects of it when I want to talk about some of the positive things. Might be maybe when the relationship is insignificant, maybe when time is short, or maybe you don't have a lot of power. Maybe it's okay to default to that and do that. Accommodating. The statement might be, whatever you say, I'll do whatever you say. you agree, appease, flatter. They like, if your tendency is appeasing, you kind of like being in conflict with someone that forces their own opinion and agenda onto you, because then it's easier for you to make that decision, because you can yield to it. So like, okay, great, awesome, whatever you say. Compromising. I'll back off if you'll do the same. So let's figure out a middle ground here. Bargaining, reducing expectations, splitting the difference. This can be positive when cooperation is important, but time and resources might be limited. So you have to maybe come to a stalemate, and you can settle with maybe less than the ideal situation because you got to move forward. Collaborating. This is my preference. What's your choice? This is my preference. What's yours? You're gathering information. It looks at alternatives, dialogues. There's dialogue that's open, and there's welcome. And this, if you're working with this, you're welcoming actually disagreements because you know that that's part of it. If we look at this, we say, how do we deal with? Is there somewhere that you might? I think most of us tend to do either one or two of these. That'll be our default mechanism. And I don't know if they're all good or all bad, but we have to maybe see where we are in that scale. Here's a question. Does anyone know? Here, can we play a game? How well do you know me? Aaron's eyebrows went up like this. Where do you think I'm going to put myself out there. Where do you think I'm the top two in there where I would go? Now, it'd be great if people don't know me. Here you go, Aaron, yeah, pick one. Avoiding, okay, yeah, interesting. Anyone else? Sharon's gonna, yeah. Accommodating, compromising, okay. Anyone else? Because we're gonna end with Sharon, right? So she's gonna tell us how it is. Anyone else? We're gonna play this game, and then I want, like, maybe Stuart, you can come up here, we'll do the same thing. Maybe Kevin, like, okay. Anyone else? Take a guess. Take a guess. Anyone else who want to jump in there? Collaborating, coming. Yeah, interesting, right? It's now it's like, who knows me? And how am I fitting in different situations? Absolutely. Right. This is what we're getting to. Right. Yeah. Yeah. This is good. Depends on the relationship, right? Okay. Yeah. Anyone else want to take a shot? Yeah, oh, I love all these. Oh, the preaching team is like, oh, pick me. Pick me. Yeah. Yeah. It comes out in a certain time, but yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, are you saying that? Yeah. Right? Okay, this is good. Who else wants to? Anyone else want to come up here and we can do this? You get the point, right? Sharon, please. No? What? Oh, we didn't talk about this earlier. Maybe we should have. I would say, so for me, and this is where maybe you can, kids, youth, talk to your parents about this. Maybe write these down and go, which one do I, where, what is my tendency? And then where do I need to maybe work on in different situations? Because as I explained it, there's different situations. In different situations, it's good to be doing this. I hope I can share this story, Sharon. It's written down. But we share a few years ago, back when we were a lot more adventurous and we were able to, and my knees were okay, we hiked Needle Peak. And is that okay? Just a little bit. Well, I just should have asked permission. But we hiked Needle Peak, and it gets to be a really open area. And it's quite a scramble at the top. And once you get to the top, you realize, oh, there's some memorials up here. So it can be quite technical without any, and we didn't have anything to hold us on, harnesses or anything like that. But you can scramble up when it's dry. It's good. We got to a point where it was like, Sharon's like, I'm not moving. I'm like, we're on the top of a mountain. You got to move somewhere. And then it was, so not my finest hour, but I thought, competing, this is going to be a good, this is what we do now. I'm just going to drop the hammer down. Well, that didn't work. Right? Trying to avoid the situation. Okay, see you later. You know, that wasn't going to work. And so, in a sense, during that time, we had to sit and wait. We had to collaborate. We had to actually wait till, now, mixed in all this was some stuff that was happening because it, Sharon, this is something new that I found out about. I didn't think that was going to affect her that much in that way. We're going to go back up at some point, I think. No. But dealing with, okay, here it is. So I think the biggest one I move to is avoiding. All right? Just get it out there. Sometimes I jump to competing quite quickly. I can go there really quickly. Some people are like, really? What? Like, for instance, maybe with my kids. I'm like, phew. Like, I'm going to tell them how it is. This is it. I'm not going to have any discussion. Let's go. And that sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I think over the last few years, coming to Coast Hills, because of some other stuff that framed who I am before coming here, I think I'm moving towards a collaborating understanding, and I think that's actually coming out. I'm learning so much in our preaching team and with our leadership teams. Our leadership team, that's a beautiful way that there's some collaborating that's happening. Because in leadership, you're always going to have conflict. When you're preaching, you want people to say, what are we going to, different ideas, you're going to have conflict. And so a collaborating way is a really great way where there's a bit more of a win-win happening. Now this is when maybe there isn't a harsh offense towards somebody at the time, right? This is, when I talk about conflict, this is different than, I want to be very clear, this is different than if there's like abuse, okay? I'm not going there today. And so we're talking about very different opinions and understanding. And so, anyway, there, that's where what it looks like. My question to us is that there's this interesting verse that comes up, and it talks about learning Christ. Are we learning Christ? Learning the way of Christ. Did I put it on there? Yes, look at that. It's on there. We want to learn the way of Christ in all of what we're doing. And I think sometimes each of those has a valid point depending on what you're going to be doing and how you're going to be working with people in that way. And here it talks about in verse 25, it says, speaking the truth to your neighbor might be referring to living a... Speaking... Can you do the next one? Stop telling lies, verse 25. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. This is the phrase that comes up. Be angry, but don't sin. Speak the truth in love, right? I'm going to speak the truth in love. And what does that look like? And so, interesting part is that the reminder here is that it speaks about in your anger, do not sin. It's not saying don't be angry, actually. In your anger, don't sin. While you're angry, don't sin. So there's can be things that just upset you, get you mad. Now the question is, what do I do with that? Anger can move us quickly to hurting other people, to disregarding other people, to maybe pushing another person and saying, you're an other person. You're so different than me that, and we don't get along, so you're over there. And some of that can happen when we're talking about all kinds of things. That can happen as we're talking theology. It can happen when we're talking politics. It can happen when we talk, you name it, right? That happens. And the question is, how have we learned Christ, and how do we live in that? How do we be like God during that situation? Then there's this phrase, and I'm going to get to this in a minute, but then it says, there's a phrase that talks about dealing with your anger. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now, is that a literal? Like, do we have to, like, the sun's going down, and then I got to make sure I'm angry at this person. What if the sun went down, and then, oh my goodness, did I grieve the Holy Spirit because the sun went down? And now where am I? What does it look like? I think what they're saying is that don't let it fester. Don't let it sit in you. Deal with it as quickly as you're able to. Someone might have to actually, it might take a day or two to actually come down. The sun might have to come up and down a couple times for the person to be able to sit and not sin in their anger. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to deal with it like right then and there. That's the optimal part. But I think there can be some leeway. And I think the big picture is don't let it fester. Don't let it stew. Don't let it ferment. Don't let your anger sit and ferment in that. Very clear that it's okay to be angry, because that's an emotion for us. And then what do we do with it after? Here it says, speak the truth in love. Stop telling lies. This is a really interesting way to look at this. Not going to lie, Sharon helped me with this. This is a beautiful way to try to understand this. To be honest and be kind. Sometimes when we say truth, we don't understand that sometimes truth takes a long time to understand and see the different aspects of truth. What does that mean? I'm not talking like a black and white truth here. But what I'm saying is we need to be honest and kind. You can be honest and shred people up, right? I can list all the things about you, and I can meet with you, or I could send an email without my name on it, and I could do whatever I could do. I could tell you all the honest truth about who you are and what you've done. And it could shred you. We've all experienced that probably in our own lives, someone doing that to us. And probably some have experienced us doing that to other people. It's honest. This way, when we're being honest, you think of the other person maybe as ignorant. He doesn't, like, stupid person, has no clue. And it kind of writes off, then there's no more honest dialogue or conversation as a result of that. And I think this is what Jesus actually does with us. there's this honesty, but he doesn't necessarily, he comes and he adds kindness to it. To be kind, you can also be overly kind without any honesty, right? You can be kind and not true to who you are. And if you're not true to who you are, you're not able to say what you're feeling or what you've experienced or the truth that you see, then nobody will know maybe what you're thinking. You'll end up feeling like you've gotten walked over and you probably haven't dealt with the situation properly. So maybe what Darren was saying, like if you're always avoiding or accommodating, and then it feels like you can go away, just even be a really kind person going, and it's just festering and stewing and sitting in there, and it's like, I have to be honest. I have to state, this is what I think. This is what I feel. This is where I'm at. This is the research I've done. And can we be honest? And can we be kind? I think we have to. I think it's the Jesus way of marrying those two together in our relationships with one another, with our relationships in our family, with our relationships here at our church, with our relationships even in work situation. How can we be honest and kind? Yeah. I will end with one quote, and then I'm going to jump into this idea of being living our baptism. Kindness is one of the purest forms of the imitation of God. How would it be if God were the kind of God who always is making snide or bitter remarks at us? What would worship and prayer be like if we thought God had been talking about us behind our backs, putting us down to others? How would we feel if we were thought, if we thought we couldn't trust God or tell the, or trust God to tell us the truth because he was always losing his temper with us? Well, how do people feel about us if that is the way we are like? Wouldn't it be better in every way to be like God? That's another N.T. Wright quote. So we move to try and understand who God is in the context of Jesus, and then we move and ask God's Holy Spirit to allow us to shape our and renew our minds, like Paul talked about last week, so that it'll transform the way we live. So being honest and kind. And if I can implore us to do one thing, it might be this. In this passage, if you look at it, it talks a lot about taking off the old self, putting on the new. It talks a lot about not saying a lie and living this true life, old and new. This is a reference to baptism. It's a reference to take the old self off, put on the new. There's this phrase I encountered in the last year or so is that live your baptism. Another phrase might be reminded of your baptism daily. Live your baptism. The baptism was a sign that you said yes to Jesus. Because you realize, like Paul mentioned last week, that I need the mercy of God to be able to live my life. I need the gospel of God to speak the good news in my life. That I am a person in need of the love and the forgiveness of God because of the way I live my life and what I do. I need to be reminded of that every day. So would God forgive me for my actions? God, would you forgive me for the way my arrogance has overtaken and overplayed and pushed people around? God, would you forgive me for the way that I am not wanting to renew your mind because I want what's right now, what I think is right? And as we live our baptism, we realize that as we walk in the waters of baptism daily, we realize, oh, we take on the humility that Jesus himself took on by going and realizing coming death all the way to the cross. And so I say to myself, I want to, there's this death that I say yes to. But I'm also able to be honest with where I'm at as well. But we live our baptism in this way that Jesus is our Lord and Savior of our life today. And that affects our lives every day. Baptism wasn't just something we did. It's something that we continually do because we are a baptized people. Here in verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. That is good news. That is good news. Too many of us, I want to say myself included, I allow myself to forget that the kindness and mutual forgiveness are the very essence of the Christian community. We can be quick to dismiss people, the very people that we've been baptized into a relationship with. Now, baptism also isn't, it also isn't just between me and God. Baptism and the picture of baptism is always and always has been that you are baptized into a community of faith, into a community of people. And so now, if we understand, put off the old, put on the new, it comes in the context of community. And how do I live my life as a baptized person? And now if you're not baptized, we can have another discussion on that. But there's this symbol of following Jesus is I'm putting off the old and putting on the new. And the new is living out this life with forgiveness for what people have, what I've encountered in my own life. All of this, I believe, in this whole chapter in chapter 4, we restore ourselves not only to God, but we restore ourselves in relationship with one another. If we could be honest and we could be kind, we can have all kinds of beautiful conversations with people. And I think it'll look more and more. We would look more and more like a Jesus-centered community if we would live this out in our daily lives. And what would that look like for us here? I want to encourage you to be thinking about, what does that look like in my own family? What does it look like in this community? What does it look like maybe in my life group? What does it look like a person that maybe in this last little while, did this thing, but I kind of was accommodating, didn't. But what would it look like for me to come and say, honestly, hey, you know what, this is, can we have an honest conversation? But it's not because I want to show them that I'm right. It's because I want to restore this relationship in the midst of the community because we say Jesus is our Lord. That's the beautiful part in this that I want us to be able to see. I want to end with a quote from Ross Parsley from Messy Church. He says this, the truth is most of us end up preferring isolation in our church. It's safer and there's no risk of getting hurt. I've got my relationship with Jesus and you've got yours. And if I need some help, I'll open up a little bit maybe and receive the initial benefits of community. But as for laying my heart out there to a group of people who may leave or maybe abuse it, that's not going to happen. This is the true challenge for our church families, all of which live in a divorced culture. All of this is to move us not only in a relationship with one to God, not just to live a pure and righteous way, but it's also to live in the messiness with one another. The New Testament is full of that. I'm not saying that we're going to share our deepest, darkest secrets with everyone. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that can we move more and more to be a Jesus-centered community here, to provide gracious space for one another, through acts of generous love. And in doing so, could we be honest and kind? Let's pray. God, thank you for your love for us. Oh, I just thank you for each person here and your love for them. Thank you that your cross transforms us into a people that see that you're a Lord, and we are in need of your mercy. Help us in the context of our community and our friends and our family and maybe even our coworkers and people that we're having a hard time with. Help us be honest and kind, that this would reflect your goodness in our own lives, and that ultimately would reflect the love that you have for not only our community, but the entire world. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.